What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Welcome to The First Mint, a podcast where I talk about marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA Top Shot. Speaking of big sales, we have a very special guest today. Block J is on the show. He is one of the smartest minds in Top Shot, also the owner, or the recipient, I guess, of the biggest sale that is a non-LeBron in Top Shot history, a Zion for $125,000. We are going to chat with him in a minute about the market stability and what it would take to get there. You definitely don't want to miss that. Before we get to that, we're going to recap the drop from Monday, the Holo Icon drop. Of course, we're going to chat about it just a little bit more. Then we're going to talk about Cool Cats 4, which we now know is coming, hopefully sometime this week. And then we're going to talk about a couple other First Mint things. I want to remind everybody that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is The First Mint. So before we kick off, we have some good news here at The First Mint. We have started up our own little newsletter. It's called The First Mint Newsletter. It's actually kind of hard to find. We're having trouble putting it on our website, but if you go to some of our latest articles on thefirstmint.com, you can find it listed there. Also, if you go to our Twitter, it will be very obvious that we have a newsletter. And little surprise, I am not actually the one writing the newsletter. That's right, we're grown. We got other people here at The First Mint who can do some cool stuff. You got Zach, who is going to be writing this one. He used to write Top Shot Daily, another excellent newsletter, but he has been nice enough to come and write ours of The First Mint. It's going to be coming your way three times a week, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So if you're listening to this on the Wednesday, you already missed one, but that's okay. You can get the next one. You just got to go sign up. Again, three times a week in your inbox. Everything that's going on with The First Mint, everything that's going on around the community, all those beautiful charts and graphics, they're all going to be in there. The links to all the streams that you might have missed, like the one on Monday where we cracked packs live on the air, it's going to be in that newsletter. Don't miss out on it. Other stuff going around at Top Shot, we found out yesterday that Cool Cats 4 is coming very soon. They were minted on CryptoSlam, Top Shot Explorer. We can see them now. The players involved are going to be Bogdan Bogdanovic, Gordon Hayward, Christian Wood, Drew Holiday, Chris Paul, with the challenge reward being Russell Westbrook. Each of those will be minted at 20,000 limited edition moments of Cool Cats, Russell Westbrook. Kind of hard to say how many there'll be. I think last time on the Jokic Challenge, Cool Cats 3, there was maybe about 6 or 7,000. So we might see a lot of Westbrooks. Also, a lot of rumors going around as to what the common moments will be that are needed for that challenge. But as you can expect, there are tons of rumors floating around. The prevailing theory is that the players in this Cool Cats drop are all players who are on a new team this year. So what would the commons be that are needed for that challenge? As in the commons that will go along with that challenge, meaning you will need these five Cool Cats that I just mentioned, plus five more common moments, probably out of the 30,000 CC moments. Well, a little list of players who have recently changed teams. You might need these. I'm not saying to go and buy these. We don't know if that's confirmed. This is all speculation, but those players are guys like Jay Crowder, Tony Snell, Mason Plumlee, JaVale McGee, DeLon Wright, Avery Bradley, George Hill, Danny Green, Hassan Whiteside, Steven Adams, and Jeremy Grant. There's probably a few more. There's quite a lot of players who have changed teams lately, but that is just one of the lists that I have seen floating around on Twitter as to who might be in there. I love this kind of speculation stuff. Keep it coming. Again, we don't know when that drop will be. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, we will know when the drop is. Maybe it'll be Thursday, maybe it'll be Friday, maybe it'll be Saturday, or maybe it won't be for weeks. And of course, Cool Cats 4, this will very likely be the last drop of Cool Cats, building up to the Master Challenge for the LaMelo Ball moment. This is a challenge, the Master Challenge. We've been literally talking about this thing for 3 months. It will finally come. There's a few other moments that will need to be announced before then. We don't know how they're going to be rolled out, but I would expect news on that in the coming days or weeks. Last thing before we get to the great interview with Block J, we got to talk about Monday's drop for the Holo Icon. If you were lucky enough to be a qualifier, then it's very unlikely that you actually got a holo pack because very few people were actually able to get one. There's only 2,300 available. I got a rebound pack, so did Phil D, and that was just fine because I actually kind of like that. I actually kind of like that there's a bit of a consolation prize for not getting the legendary pack. Made it feel exclusive and made me feel good as what is considered a genuine collector. Hoping that more of you guys are able to qualify for the next one, that you kind of up your collecting game to get in there. I want to do something that maybe a lot of people haven't done in the last week or so. I actually want to take a minute to praise the team at Dapper Labs simply by recounting everything that has happened since last Thursday that they have rolled out in near pro form. First, gifting returned on Thursday night with very clear rules as to how gifting was going to go from now on. And then Friday, the pre-order packs were delivered to everyone's accounts. Took maybe 24 hours or some, but all those pre-order packs came in. And then Saturday, Sunday, we saw that the holo moments were being minted along with the metallic golds. I think that was on Friday. Anyways, we saw those get minted. On Sunday, it was announced that the holos were coming out on the Monday and that there would be new pack drop restrictions for qualifying as well as the rebound packs that I just mentioned. And at the same time, a showcase contest was launched, which has been taken over, honestly, the Twitter sphere. It's a little bit overwhelming, but again, a great contest to get a ton of people in the community involved. All of that in a 4 to 5 day span. With very little marketplace disruption, there was a bit of disruption during the pre-order release, and of course yesterday during the drop it was shut down, but otherwise very few issues happening. Of course, withdrawals and customer checks still a big sticking point for a lot of people, but those are accelerating. There are more people that get access every day. Anyways, not going to talk about that. Just going to say the last 4 or 5 days, not going to say this often, but Dapper has been on fire, so good for them. Hopefully that continues and we keep to see more smooth drops and things get better. Next up, you're going to hear my conversation with Block J, also known as Jason. He is one of the smartest and most underrated minds in Top Shot, in my humble opinion. He and I are going to chat about what a bidding system would look like in Top Shot, and also what it's going to take to stabilize this market, and whether we would see huge rises or huge dips again, and the pros and cons of those. Pretty much just a general chat on what the future of the NBA Top Shot marketplace looks like. We're also going to get a little deeper into his story and how he got here and how he ended up with a Zion Williamson legendary that he sold for a bucket, a big dump truck of money. Have a listen to my convo with Block J. All right, everybody, we are on with Block J, as you know him on Twitter, but also Jason, if you've ever been with him on Clubhouse, as I have been many times. He is the recipient, I guess, or the seller of probably, I think, the biggest non-LeBron sale in Top Shot history, and we're going to talk about that, but he's mainly on here to talk about the marketplace. Welcome to the First Mint.
Hey, Luke, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited to be here, man. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's been a long time coming, you know, because I feel like every time I've interacted with you impromptu in some way, like on Clubhouse or whatever, it always ends up being like a really good conversation. So it's like now we're one-on-one. There's no Darren Revelle. There's nobody else. It's just you and me having a little chat about Top Shot. Just for the people that don't know you, though, as well as I have or as well as I've gotten to know you, give us a sense of how you got into crypto, what that looks like, and then also how you discovered Top Shot.
Yeah, of course. So back in 2017, I was doing an internship for a company based in Charlotte. So I'm from New York. So, you know, that's when I started kind of looking into cryptocurrency on Reddit, actually. Kind of fell in love with what's going on in there. Did not heed, you know, most of the OG's advice of, you know, long-term investing into Bitcoin and ETH. Kind of dove like head straight into different altcoins and whatnot, trading here and there. And you know, a lot of people back then when things were heating up that summer, didn't really matter what you're investing in, it was going to go up. So, you know, kind of felt like a genius for a long time. Towards like the end of 2017, when things really got crazy, I actually bought, I guess back then, my first NFT. It was something called Ethereumon. And that was on a bonding curve. And I had no idea what I was doing. But all I knew was, oh, I bought this thing for 0.2 ETH, and now if I burn it or something like that, I could get 2 ETH from it. Of course, never did that. Never sold it. Still holding on to that NFT. You could go check my MetaMask wallet if you want.
No way.
Still there.
Wait, how much is it? Is it worth anything now?
I actually did check their page. So they're still going, but I have no idea how to, you know, even incorporate that old NFT into what they're doing these days. So who knows? I should still, you know, maybe look into it. You know, learned a lot during that experience. And then I actually heard about Top Shot in August 2020. So if you actually check my account, that's when I signed up. My friend just my friend, he just got me on to that, like bypassed the wait list, and he was able to invite me. And back then, I actually had friends investing into sports cards as well. Back then, I'm saying that like that's 5 years ago. It's literally last year, not even a year ago. But I
Dude,
actually,
that's like a million years ago for me, man. That is like there's like pre-Top Shot and there's everything
Oh
since.
yeah, pre-TS. But no, yeah. I mean, I was literally looking at my friend's sports cards, like Block AP on Twitter. He was showing me his Steph Curry, and I'm like, "What are you doing with your money, man? Like, this has got to be the dumbest thing that I've ever seen anybody do." And then I got introduced into Top Shot as well, signed up, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to invest into this kind of stuff. I was, really not about like the whole collectibles market in general. But that's when I did find out about it. And then when I really got intrigued by Top Shot was the legendary Deck the Hoops pack drop. I got the I think I actually had been getting emails since August about Top Shot. Ignored every single one of them, man. Every single one. I was like, I don't even know why I signed up for this. But for some reason, I decided to open up the legendary Deck the Hoops email, and I saw that the packs dropped. They sold out in a minute, and that's when I lost my mind about Top Shot. That's when it clicked for me. And I was like, the demand is like that for this product. I need to see what's going on.
Before we get into the actual financial stuff, let's talk about your Zion.
Of course.
Tell me about it from purchase to sale.
When I came on Top Shot, I was always preaching you got to buy the moments you really want, players that you really care about. So personally for me, I see Zion as one of those guys who's going to be on TV every single day. Kind of like, you see LeBron every single day. Zion and Luka are going to be the faces of the NBA. So hopping on and seeing what Zion's moments look like, and compared to what other Cosmics, even his own Cosmic, I saw that the Holo Max was, decently cheaper. And back then, I didn't necessarily have the knowledge that the Cosmic set was going to be like the first one, and it'll never be made again for Legendary. So not only that though, just aesthetically, I really liked like the rainbow Pelicans design on the Holo Max Zion moment. So that one was pretty easy for me to buy. And I remember actually when I purchased it, back then the stats that were being published was like a scrape of like cryptoslam.io. Like my 7K purchase was like 60 or 70% of all the Zion moments purchased, like total value of like that 3 day span or something like that. So
Wasn't that freaky though to do that? That you're like, okay, I just bought, like I'm most of the market activity. Like, wasn't that didn't that be wasn't that cause for alarm?
dude, it was pretty crazy. Do you remember when I hopped on, so I spent the most amount of money on a 3 day period, and I put out a tweet like, oh, it feels weird to be a whale, but like I'm excited for the future. And you guys came back and you're like, dude, you're like a small fish in this Top Shot snake. I was
I had
like,
to keep you in your
I did
lane,
not know this
man.
like
Yeah,
that.
but no, well, the thing is, like, now you know that there's just, people out there, like Greek Freak that owns like 12,000 moments, it's just like, but you were still a very well-sized fish. I'll tell you that. You're still doing very well. So maybe
Yeah,
take too much
not a
offense to that.
whale, maybe a little
There are
barracuda or
many types
something.
of whales as well, right? There are different types of whales, right? So maybe you're
True,
not a
true.
gray, you might not be a gray whale. You could be a killer whale. It's much smaller, but still
Yeah.
quite iconic. So we could say that. Let's talk about the market. When you look at the Top Shot market, in which way do you evaluate how things are going on? And I mean that as in, like, do you look at like market caps? Do you look at individual player or moment market caps? Are you looking at buyers and sellers on a daily or like monthly average, or what else? Like, how do you approach something like this?
I think like the best metric, and even with that metric, it's a little flawed. I do look at market cap pretty consistently, just total market cap to see how the market is moving. But personally for me, I think for most of the metrics out there, it's all pretty flawed in my eyes. When it's done by lowest ask, I think that's a little bit it's leading people kind of in the wrong way to think about how this market is moving these days. Because all it takes is one undercutter, and I'm sure everybody knows, it takes one undercutter to drop a price from 10% to 15%. And like that can impact the market cap pretty greatly. So I think for the most part, a lot of metrics right now being published, they do, that's the best that we got. So you got to work with what we have. I do like to look at buyers and sellers as well, seeing what's outpacing the other. And I think that could give you some trends as to, how people are feeling about the market at least.
Is there an ideal metric you wish you had that we don't have right now?
I think market cap is the ideal metric, but what needs to badly be introduced is the bidding system. So, you know, you can have a bidding system for each particular moment, like each serial. But what I do think that Top Shot eventually should implement is a bidding system where this is a price I'm willing to pay for any serial number of this moment. So like a bidding system where you can have, you know, like hundreds of people lining up bids, like I'll pay this much for this moment of any serial number. Right. So then when that happens, there's a price that everybody kind of agrees upon on the buying side of the market that they're willing to pay. And on the other side, you know, that's all we've been seeing is what the ask is, what people are willing to sell for. But when there's no visibility into what everybody's willing to buy it for, right?
Yeah.
Then there's no really floor you could establish.
Right.
And, you know, that's why we're seeing so many undercutters. Just, you know, someone's going to come in and undercut me faster. So I'm going to go undercut really low and, you know, completely ignore. Maybe there is a price point where, you know, most buyers can agree upon. And once that is introduced into the marketplace, which I actually saw just today on the office hours, that is a plan that they do have in place. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it's for individual moments or for the whole moment itself, like a lowest bid for any serial number. But once that gets introduced, I think that the market cap numbers, market cap per player, I think all those provide much more legitimacy.
I agree with you. I think that's really interesting. And it's actually a way I have never really looked at it is, but you see that the sprinkles of that is the idea of quantifying the demand, right? Yeah. And in the sense that it's like, you know, myself and I'm sure a lot of others, if you're looking at a LeBron and you're thinking like, okay, it's at this price right now. If it comes down to this price, I'll buy it, right? Exactly. And then if there's a way to just lock that in and just walk away, then you would. Right. But then when it does drop to that price, then you look at it and you're like, what if it keeps dropping? Then maybe I should buy it cheaper. So kind of like it kind of activates a little bit of that, I don't know, that greed or whatever you want to call that in people. But then if you had just said like, okay, I'm buying the LeBron at $600 whenever it hits there and I'm done, then you would have, you know, then you'd find a floor a lot quicker for the demand. Right. So,
and you know, if a lot of people agree upon the same price that they're willing to pay for, that in itself, you know, prevents the undercutters from going crazy because you got like, let's say like 1,000 people for a 35K moment that are all willing to buy it for X price. Then everyone that wants to dump it can. And then now it's in the hands of, you know, people who wanted to buy it for that price. And, you know, I think once that gets introduced into the market, like these metrics that everyone's putting out, you know, can provide a lot more insight into what's going on.
So, okay. So here's a question for you. If bidding was introduced tomorrow, what would happen in the market?
That is interesting. I think there may be some sell-off into those bids, you know, seeing what people are actually willing to pay because, you know, a lot of times people are kind of listing a moment up as like a shot in the dark. Like, you know what? I'm just going to put it up for this. Someone wants to buy for this. Okay, great. But if you could see what's, and especially if it's like a bid on your specific moment. So like, let's say you have a real serial, then you know, someone will bid X amount and maybe you're not comfortable with that bid. And then you could counter by, you know, maybe lowering your ask that you have it up for to maybe a somewhat reasonable more number for the buyer. And, you know, it'll just, I think it'll overall be generally healthy. It'll, you know, there'll be counter offers, there'll be offers and people, you know, will generally come to a better agreement on price. And I think that's just the most important part.
Let's talk about like the main thing we wanted to discuss today, which is the stability of the market in Top Shot. And, you know, a lot of people, and especially I'm sure a lot of people have come in the last 5 or 6 weeks, you know, everyone's kind of crossing their fingers, hoping that there's going to be some kind of big boom again. And some people are speculating, including myself. I speculated this on the, you know, on past episodes of the podcast, that we could see a lot of interest in Top Shot and in the NBA return during the playoffs, which are just a month away. We could see tons of interest come back next season. We know Dapper hired Dave Feldman, who's the former VP of marketing social for the NFL. Now he's at Dapper, so he's gonna be doing the same great work for Top Shot. And we also know that there's tons of markets that haven't been tapped into, right? Everyone keeps talking about how, you know, the global NBA fan base is 400 million people. We only have 300,000 now. Just wait till China comes in and they discover this. You know, everyone speculates about all these booms that could happen. How realistic is any of that? How realistic is it that we will see another big boom like we saw at the end of February?
Yeah, so I think In these types of markets where it's still, Topshot is still an NFT and crypto money is easily able to flow in. And this market's 24/7. I think it's hard to say there won't be another boom coming, but that doesn't necessarily mean that another boom will be coming. But I think it's tough to count it out in a sense, just because of, how these markets move. But I think for the NBA and as an extension, Topshot, I think they kind of want to shift from a volatile type of parabolic up and downs to something more stable and long-term growth. So,
What would you consider a boom?
what I consider a boom, I'll consider a boom maybe like a 3x, 4x in prices from now.
Of all prices.
Yeah, of all prices in general. That's what I
You
would
think
call.
that's realistic? Because my opinion has been, like, my thoughts have been that some stuff could boom, like Series One or like Legendaries or whatever, but that there's some stuff, like looking at like a, one of 15,000, like Brooks Lopez right now, to me, I'm like, I don't think that price will ever change. What
Yeah.
I don't, but what, you know what I mean though? It's like we have so much stuff now that I don't think everything could go parabolic, but you tell me what you think, right? Because you're kind of saying everything could.
Yeah. Maybe not everything, but what we've seen in the past two booms, the one in January and February, it was a rising tide where everything went up. That was not just exclusive to the February like post 15K LE event. Even in January, any moment you bought could have been, do some crazy number like a 10x or something like that. But I would attribute that a little bit back then to like just how low prices were. So to do a multiple like that would be much easier. But I do think there's good chance maybe that the really good moments, maybe just S1 and then moments of the superstars can do a boom like a 3x, 4x for the S2 moments and maybe the ones of like lesser known players. Like maybe in general they could see a slight bump up, but I do think like it might be difficult for those to do 3x, 4x again, just because there's market history now too. People have learned
Yeah.
their lesson, so.
Here's a take for you. Yes, totally, like the utility of Top Shot would be very good for the ecosystem, whether it's using your moments as tickets to games, or whether it's, that tomorrow they reveal the plans for Hardcourt and we find out that, XYZ type moments are going to be worth this much in Hardcourt, and that Hardcourt you can make millions of dollars playing it or whatever, some kind of really exciting plans. Yes, you could assume that that would bring, some type of surge to the moments in Top Shot. However, I also feel like Top Shot has learned their lesson in terms of letting that happen, right? Like, I don't. So, this is more the question for you is knowing now, hopefully, Dapper and them have learned what can happen to this market, and they've also learned how to weed out the bad actors, the bots, all that kind of stuff. So, knowing what good news like that can do, whether it's turning a bunch of CC moments to LE, revealing a ton of new utility for moments or whatever, will they be cautious to not have another massive surge when that news comes out? Will they take precautions so that it doesn't happen?
Yeah, I do believe that they're going to progress that way. I think we just saw it on the Holo Icon drop. So with the Holo Icon drop, they announced the snapshot was taken before they dropped the news. So they did
Good
that
point.
so people can't just go buy up moments or go spend $1,000 to get into the drop. So I think they've already learned their kind of lesson there. And like different news like that, we're dropping utility news. Yeah, that's a little harder to plan around, but I think they'll come up with an innovative way to drop the news as well as hoping that it won't affect the market in an artificial way. So
This has been great. And you know what happens at this part in the podcast when I'm done doing the interview. And we play Would You Rather. You know how this works, right? Would you rather?
yes, I do.
Okay. Are you ready to play? Because I have some excellent questions that I've been preparing for you.
All right, I'm as ready as I can be.
Okay. Would you rather that you become a top five whale in Top Shot or that Top Shot implement a bidding system?
Ooh. I mean, I'd rather be a top five whale. Yeah, it means I could, ride off in the sunset, sell a couple and ride off in the sunset, so.
Leave the rest of us behind with our crappy lowest ass system. Okay,
Well,
that's
I'll
fine.
become
That's
the
a, no, it's
lowest
a
ass.
realistic answer, man. It's a realistic answer. Can't hate you for that. Okay. Would you rather you never ignored any of those emails going back to August and you had been getting into Top Shot this whole time? Or your Ethermon turns out to be the most valuable one in the entire game?
Well, I have like four Ethereumons,
Ethereumons. What it turns out, your old NFTs turn out to be like the four most valuable ones. They're the LeBron
I would rather have the Ethereumon so I could
Cosmics
flip those and then go buy LeBron moments.
of Ethereumon. Okay. Yeah, smart. Okay, yeah, smart. Okay. Last one. Would you rather that you had stayed really active in crypto since 2017 and you never did other things? You just stayed and you built and everything that you're saying that you wish you'd stayed and just, got rid of your crappy coins or whatever. Or Dapper reaches out to you with an offer to become their chief economist and you have to live with Roham at his house to do that.
Ooh. That's so tough. I think if I had the brains to be the economist, I would, because I think what Dapper's got going on, is about to change the entire world. And we're just in the first inning with that. So
Nice.
I think I'd like that.
So wait, you want to be smart enough, you consider yourself smart enough to become the economist. You want to be at that
If
point.
I was smart enough, but I'm not
If you're
smart
come on, you don't know that you're not smart enough, man.
enough.
Roham, if you're listening, this is the next guy. Block J, where can people find you and follow your excellent thoughts?
You could follow me on Twitter at block underscore J underscore. And you could also follow my team at Top Shot Blockers with a Z. And right now, my team is hosting a challenge called the Blockers TS Challenge. And basically, you just need to go outside, record your best trick shot, and then say Top Shot that at the end of it to enter our giveaway. And the first place prize, which we'll be voting on through the community, is a LeBron Western Conference Finals rare. So the lowest ask for that is $6,500. Second place gets a Luka Common Game Winner. I think the lowest ask for that is 1.6K right now. So we got some pretty big prizes. I think this might be one of the biggest giveaways that's been happening on Top Shot, but we want you guys to get out there, get active, disconnect from the screen for like an hour or two, get your best trick shot and submit it to us.
Healthy message. I like that. Telling people to go outside. So trick shot as in basketball trick
Yeah,
shot,
it could
right?
be
You want people
anything.
to go down to their local court and record some kind of trick shot. Are there any requirements for the trick shot? Like, do they have to make it?
No, you absolutely have to make it. That's the first one. But
Okay.
just get creative with
Okay.
it. You could see some of the entries we've had right now. People have taken the kind of pack drop animation. And when you open the pack, it's like they're a trick shot. So, some people have gotten really creative with it. We've only got like six or seven submissions. So the competition is low,
Oh
guys.
wow.
$6,500.
Yeah.
Get your trick
Wow,
shot
and
out there.
I'm just looking at the tweet and it's yeah, the pri first prize is a LeBron Western Conference Finals valued at
It's
$8,100
gone down,
and at
Steve.
8,100
It's gone
has
down.
gone down. All right,
No,
just cuz there's no bidding system. That's the problem.
that's a problem.
And and then the second place prize is a Luka base set three-pointer. That's the three-pointer I'm assuming it's the Clippers,
Yep,
right, in the
yep.
playoffs last year. Yeah, so it's the base moment of that. I think I actually have one of those. And that one is a sweet one. I don't think I'll ever sell that one. So awesome. Okay, and even just somebody who retweets the contest is going to win a Jokic as
Yep,
well.
we're
I'm
gonna pick one
reading.
guy. So, lots of
Awesome.
prizes,
That's
Steve.
cool. It's a fun springtime game, man. I'm going to have to find a local court around here and see if I can even make a shot to start with, and then try and do a trick shot after
Oh,
that.
absolutely. Maybe we could turn that into an NFT as well, man.
Dude, I've made enough. I've had enough NFTs for this week for my own
Oh,
NFTs.
yeah.
So maybe next time. Block J, it's been a pleasure, man.
Absolutely, Luke. Appreciate it, man.
And that is going to do it for us today on the First Mint. Thank you for listening. Again, go and find our newsletter. I'm going to try and pin it on Twitter or something like that so everybody can subscribe. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at the First Mint. Hit us with your likes. And if you're listening on iTunes or wherever else, give us that follow, give us that subscribe, leave a comment, say something nice. I love to hear nice things. I get a lot of DMs about them, and I like to just know what you guys think about the podcast. So leave a comment, give us a star rating, however that works. Please do it. Otherwise, we are probably going to be doing another show over the weekend, probably try and post it on Friday or Saturday. So keep an eye out for that. Otherwise, if there is a pack drop, good luck on it, and we'll see you next time on the First Mint.